Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. By the way, we are just 26 minutes away from the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Scott Warman will be here at 5:04 to wrap up the deadline deals and talk about this last stretch of the season for the Cardinals. But with us right now, we are joined by Michael Boyd. He is an aviation analyst and president of the Boyd Group International. Michael, welcome to the show.
Joe, thank you very much. Honored to be here.
I love flying. I started the show by saying this. I love flying. I love vacations. And if I'm on a plane, that most likely means I'm on my way to vacation. But I have noticed turbulence more common than maybe 10 years ago. And we saw this issue make a plane land early in Minneapolis. What can you tell us about turbulence in 2025?
Well, you know, we don't have good statistics going back 10 years. Now, people babbling about it might be global warming or it might be who knows what. That doesn't make any difference. We have it. You know, 26 people, you know, going to the hospital. Yeah, in this day and age, whatever it is, when you're sitting in an airplane, you better have your seatbelt fastened. The days of having stand-up bars and things like that, you don't want to do that. If you have to go to the restroom, go and get back quick. But right now today, it's just not advisable to be wandering around the cabin of an airplane flying through the sky. That's all there is to it.
Let's just look at the country instead of the world. Look at United States of America. Are there parts of the country where it's always going to be turbulent regardless of what the system is? Or is this all reliant on, you know, weather patterns?
Well, it's weather patterns, but it's also, you know, mountain waves. And you fly over the Rocky Mountains. There have been airplanes, you know, that historically have literally lost engines. I mean, off of the airplane. The weather's been so bad. Look, back in the 60s, a big Boeing 707 took off from Tokyo, flew over Fujiyama, and it got torn to pieces in the sky. So we're dealing with nature. Nature always isn't like we like it to be. So the bottom line is you get on the airplane, they say, fasten the seatbelt, fasten it low and tight.
You know, Michael, I've always heard that, you know, turbulence for a pilot is like hitting a pothole as a driver. Is that still the case?
Oh, sure. You know, and pilots, you know, try to handle the airplane through that, but it's very difficult to do when you don't know what this wind aberration really is doing. But, you know, keep in mind, the pilots are the best we've got in the world here in the United States, but nobody can really deal with this. So what we're saying about here, again, those 26 people, I'm sorry about that. And it could have been a lot of those were crew members. But the bottom line of it is it's just not a good idea when you get on an airplane, go through the sky, sit down and shut up.
Now, this might sound like a ridiculous question, but I'm asking this purely as someone who loves to, you know, go sit down, put my headphones in and zone out on an airplane. Is there any way that planes could be made to handle turbulence to the point where it's not as jarring in the cabin?
Well, that's kind of what they said about the Titanic. Can we make a boat that won't sink? It's about the same thing.
All right. I was just wondering. So you think, you know, let's look, it's 2025, 2030, 2035. I mean, do you think it's possible that turbulence gets worse or this, what we're seeing today, is the new normal?
Well, I would suspect today is a new normal only because we know it's there. You know, whether it'll get worse or whether it is worse, I can't pass on that. But we do know it's there. That's all we really need to know. I don't know if it's going to get any worse or any better, but the fact is it can happen. So, again, airplane cabins are not for wandering around. They're not for going to the lounge. They're not for standing up at stand-up bars going across the Atlantic.
Now, this, again, might sound ridiculous to an expert like you. I am not an expert. You know, we see planes, I mean, more and more people getting crammed on these airplanes. Does that play into this at all?
No, not really. I mean, you know, but you get about, and keep in mind, the average airplane seat width in America actually has gone up in the last 30 years, not less. But the fact of the matter is you do have a lot of people in there. Leg room is, you know, if you're a paraplegic, you're fine. But, I mean, leg room is really bad. But the fact of it, in many cases, but the fact is the number of people on the airplane is de minimis in terms of what turbulence will do to the airplane.
Now, you know, Michael, this is going on, but we're also seeing some leniency at TSA checkpoints. You know, last time I went to fly, I didn't have to untie my shoes. Is that the right direction for safety of the skies, again, in 2025?
It is, because most of what been done, well, at the TSA since it was founded, is eyewash. Taking off your shoes has not done anything, because putting it in a bin, you're not going to find explosives in that generally now. Things like that, or the water bottles. We've been reacting to what happened. I'm hoping this gnome is going to do.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Something about it, because it's not the screening process at the airport where the threat is, and that's not where 9/11 came from. It was the back door to the airports, and I don't think our airports anywhere have really strong security programs to avoid people from getting through.
So the issue is not the TSA checkpoints that we all see. It's what we're not seeing that's the big problem?
Absolutely. It's everybody working in an airport should be security trained. They're not. And we need to have programs in place that can anticipate what a terrorist might do to the HVAC system, or what a terrorist might do to the plumbing system, or a terrorist might do to the air cargo system. We don't have any of that going on right now, and we need to put it in a place, and airports have to get more involved rather than just following whatever the TSA says.
You know, Michael, a few weeks ago, we heard of a plane that had to drop quickly because of another plane that was not called in. They had no idea was in the sky. What is the reason for stuff like that? We heard it happen a few days later in over Las Vegas. How does something like that happen in a high technology era that we're living in?
Well, the point is, in the last 20 years, our air traffic control system has just fallen way behind because it's been ignored. Unfortunately, they've been hiring air traffic controllers based upon things other than the ability, and that doesn't mean the people behind those screens are all, you know, wrong people to be there, but it's not been a focus of safety, and we could have done that. There's been since we testified to Congress 30 years ago on this, and nothing's been done. It's one of those things that's out of sight, out of mind. It's like security. Hey, we haven't had a 9/11 event in, 25 years, so we must be doing it right. That doesn't work that way.
You know, but we're talking to people. I mean, I'm sure there's people in this audience that will be on a plane tomorrow, be on the plane this weekend. I mean, should they feel safe that even with those issues in traffic control, that the pilots of your commercial airlines are prepared to deal with something like that as the pilots were in these two instances?
And the last 20 before that, they were ready. So, pilots in America, we talk about, the miracle on the Hudson where a guy put an airplane on the Hudson and nobody barely got wet. We have 30 or 40,000 pilots in the United States of America, more than that, 100,000 pilots in the U.S. air transportation system that could have done exactly the same thing. It's that well qualified.
And then you have the issue over in Washington, D.C., and we're hearing these hearings are happening where you had the Army helicopter and an airplane. Again, is this something that people should be fearing when they get into an airplane?
Not now, because of the event, they're going to change things. And that's the problem we have. We don't change things until someone dies. But you shouldn't have had helicopters that close to an approach, number one. Number two, now they're saying, well, the altimeters might have been different. Well, that's not good enough. But I think going forward, that's what we have when we have calamities like this. We learn from them, and we can avoid that one happening again.
Now, Michael, I am sorry. I'm just going to let the audience know this. I did not give Michael an idea that I was going to ask this question. So, Michael, if it's off the radar, just let me know. But 16 years ago, we had 3407 in my backyard. And I know it's beautiful summer day now, but winter is coming. Are airplanes in America safe in the winter? Do we have the right precautions against ice and things like that?
We do. The problem is we have things like pilot errors. As long as we insist upon putting humans to build airplanes and fly them, there's going to be mistakes made. But, you know, we learn from that. The problem is with one of those events, you know, they put in things that don't make any sense, like a 1,500-hour rule for pilots to be trained. There is no curriculum in that. They could be sitting in front of a TV set for all we know. So we should have Congress out of it. But, you know, training pilots, for example, is an issue of skills, not necessarily hours. But boy, if you dare say you have a problem with a 1,500-hour rule, you're going to get strung up.
So that was Michael, that was my very next question. This 1,500 rule, you know, that's I'm broadcasting in Buffalo, and that is a big issue. Is, you know, no one wants to see this tinkered with. You're saying that it's all for show. It's not as important as people are playing it up.
No, it isn't. But if that had been in enforced 10 years before that event in Buffalo, it wouldn't have solved that crash. It wouldn't have avoided that crash. It would have nothing to do with the people in the cockpit, those mistakes that were made there. So the 1,500-hour rule is a giant placebo, but it's a sacred placebo that our new FAA administrator, who is a highly qualified person, dared question whether that's enough training or the right kind of training. And you got people in Congress that basically wanted to take him out and shoot him.
Michael Boyd, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the conversation.
My pleasure, sir. You have a good day.
Thanks, you too. That is Michael Boyd. He is an aviation analyst and president of the Boyd Group International. And let me tell you guys, after talking to him, I feel very comfortable getting on an airplane. I'll be on one in about a month to see my beloved Hokies in Atlanta. And that's the kind of reassuring talk that I think more people need, is what Michael Boyd, he knows it. He knows his stuff. He knows aviation. And just a calm, you know, a calm message, a calming tone. Everything is fine. We have the skilled pilots. I'm going to take this interview and put it on my phone so I can listen to it as the plane's taking off, because that's the assurance I think we need, not the scare tactics that we get way too often out of D.C. Thanks again, Michael. Really, really appreciate it. When we come back, we will talk more MLB trade deadline. 15 minutes until the deadline. And don't forget, at 5:04, Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Midwest will join us to break down not only the deadline deals and what that means for your St. Louis Cardinals, but what we should expect from these last 2 months of the 2025 MLB season. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.